Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Jonicleese Caldwell. She's the owner of Folia Farm in Rogue River, Oregon. She teaches classes on cheesemaking and goat herd management. Recently, she completed her book, The Farmstead Creamery Advisor, The Complete Guide to Building and Running a Small Farm-Based Cheese Business. What led you to write this book, Jonicleese?
Well, when we were getting started building our creamery here in Oregon, there was definitely a deficit of information, and we came upon most of it either the hard way or after having done things incorrectly. So I'd always wanted to write, and I came to the point where I realized if I was going to write, this would be a really great book to help others and also help me learn so that I could share that information.
It sounds like you probably got a lot of calls from people who were just starting out and just trying to get the information.
Yeah, how'd you know? Calls, emails, and I wasn't alone. All the other cheesemakers I knew were being called and emailed, and none of us really have time to address people individually like that. So, yes, I was hoping it would help those getting started as well as those already in the business defer those seekers of information to another source.
Right. You could say, just read the book first and then call.
Exactly.
Now, let's go through. You have a flow chart on starting a small cheesemaking business that's on your blog. I thought that was very interesting. In fact, I thought it was one of those things that could work for any business.
Thanks.
Starting with, you know, just first of all, once you decide you want to make and sell cheese, I mean, that's kind of almost an emotional decision.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, so the first thing you ask people to do is to assess their personal suitability. What sorts of things should they consider in the very first step?
They need to assess whether they can hold up to this sort of a lifestyle. It's not for everybody. The 24 hours a day sometimes and every day of the year, you aren't able to just walk away from it. That needs to appeal to you to some degree, and you need to have the type of support from other people in your life that won't negatively affect other parts of your life. So I feel like that's the first place to start. If you don't have those things going for you, it doesn't matter how well you plan the rest of your business.
And, of course, just loving the animals, I think, seems like the important first thing.
It is the important first thing, but it's also one of the facets that can add a lot of pain because you have to go up in size and you are going to be dealing with a greater number of possible things going wrong with your animals and seeing death and perhaps not able to help as much as if you were a little smaller. So it changes.
Okay. And then the next thing that you ask people to assess is product suitability, the retail and wholesale distribution, and is there a market for what it is that you're going to produce?
Right.
And how do people go about doing that part of it?
I recommend that they start by deciding in what region or what scope of their sales will exist, whether they'll be shipping or not, and then, for example, say if they want to start by selling locally, go to those local markets that currently exist, whether they're farmers markets or grocery stores or cheese counters and restaurants, and start doing a little survey both of what products exist, what the prices are, is there room in the market for more products? If people could get other products, what would they be? And then are those things you think you could provide?
And then would you maybe suggest to people to make some cheese and have people sample it at those places?
Yes, you can do. You should definitely do that. You want to do that after you've done a lot more research.
Okay.
Because most counters and chefs of any note are approached all the time with people and their products, and if you're not ready for that, it's better to have no exposure than negative exposure.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next step after that is infrastructure assessment. And so that would be things like looking at your power situation like you have at your farm and waste management and water.
Right. Yes. You need a lot of water to run a dairy. And sometimes people don't have access to that and they don't realize they don't. Or power and utilities, what will the cost be? Power bills can go up so by adding all these compressors and cooling units to a level you hadn't anticipated in your budget. And then waste management, people might think that means garbage disposal, but what it really means is managing mostly the byproducts of all the cleaning from the creamery and the dairy side, and then the manure from the animals. That is usually in most areas quite regulated and can lead to some extra costs in designing your facility.
Is that something, do you hook up with local farmers to haul away some of the manure to be spread on farms and that sort of thing?
Well, that would depend on the situation. We personally compost it and then farmers can come pick it up and then we spread it on our own gardens and things. But it depends on... That's an excellent point. If you have people in need of your product, it's no longer really a waste product. It can become a value-added product. So this is an area that farmers can tap into as far as it becoming not just a cost to them, but actually adding something.
You know, that is one of the things that you've done, too, with finding feed for your animals is using the spent materials from the brewery.
Right, and we're very lucky to get it, too.
So being kind of on the lookout of that, other sources of feed for your animals that might be a byproduct of another industry.
Yes, and other sources of feed that don't compromise their health. I think there's some history in the world of feeding animals things that they weren't really meant to eat as a way to try to provide cheap feed sources.
Sure.
And need to take that into consideration, too.
Sure. And then the next area is shipping, transport, excess animal market, feed sources, and labor.
Right. And feed sources, can you buy hay? Can you buy grains? And can you get them locally? Will they have to be shipped in? That's another choice in going organic. If you want to be organic and the nearest organic feed source is hundreds of miles away, how do you feel about that? And excess animal market... taking babies, are you going to sell the meat yourself? If you want to do a meat market, that can become a value-added facet, but it should be addressed. If you live in a very distant area, how will the shipping add cost to your product? And then labor, that's something that's not just the thought of what you will pay the people, but is there even a labor pool suitable to this work? Dairying work is odd hours, and it can be one of the most difficult things for a dairy farmer in finding reliable people to work those hours.
Well, there are a couple more steps involved, but at the end, I think one of the important things that you ask is, would you lend yourself money if you were a lender? It's kind of evaluating your business plan and making sure that to you it sounds like something that's worth investing in.
Right. I think if people have, all along with each of these steps, collected the costs and the income potential and done a good business plan. A good business plan doesn't necessarily mean it's worth creating a business from, but it should tell you whether it is. And when I thought that if you did this plan and somebody came to you with it and wanted money from you, would you give it to them?
Uh-huh.
And if you wouldn't, maybe you should... look at your plan again.
Okay. This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking with Jonicles Caldwell. She recently completed her book, Mastering Artisan Cheesemaking, The Ultimate Guide for the Home Scale and Market Producer.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.